ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट 17 Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This describes the departure of, this chapter is titled The Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwaraka. In the Sanskrit is as follows. Sitata patram jagraha mukta dama vibhushitam ratna dandam gudakesha priya priyatamasya ha. Alright, so you can read the translation. How did you translate gata percha? You have it?
Yes.
It's common? I had to look up myself. I had to look it up myself. It's
yeah.
Not a common term.
No, there is such a word, but I don't know what's the meaning.
I would.
Plastic. Aluminium.
We could say aluminium. That's like.
It's kind of plastic. In Russian, translation, it's plastic.
It's an uncommon word. Anyway, this is just. The point of the verse is that it's describing that Arjuna was carrying a very valuable umbrella to shelter Krishna from the hot sun. So Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, takes up a side point, or what's not exactly the main point, but what is a main point in Srila Prabhupada's regular preaching. One of the main points that Srila Prabhupada repeatedly emphasizes is the artificiality and uselessness of modern civilization as compared to traditional society. Here it's described that the Lord had was being sheltered by an umbrella with a handle of jewels and embroidered with lace and pearls, and it was normal thing that in the past people used to have gold and jewels. I mean, even village people. That was true in India, at least up until recently, that even the village people had plenty of gold. Gold ornaments, both men and women. In Russia, you wouldn't know. Maybe they all ended with the revolution. But I don't know what it was like in pre-revolutionary days, but I would imagine that in that time, people also they had gold.
Не знаю, как в России, может быть. Может быть, революция.
Modern advancement. Yeah. Now, this topic is not directly anything to do with remembering Krishna. However, Srila Prabhupada spoke about it a lot, so obviously it is important. Because Srila Prabhupada saw that this situation in the modern society is such that it makes it difficult for people to be Krishna conscious. And what to speak of being Krishna conscious, it's difficult. I mean, people don't even live as normal human beings. They're just, people are living very sinful lives. Srila Prabhupada was writing this, is the first kind of Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada was writing this in the early 1960s. At this time, Srila Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan and Delhi. He was commuting up and down. At that time, society was not as technologically progressed as now. And Srila Prabhupada was maybe unique in his condemnation. At that time, no one was speaking against the ills of modern society. There was great hope that by technological progress, the whole world will become wonderful. There was the idea that we will become, by technological progress, we'll become more and more prosperous. And the idea of prosperity is that we'll have more and more vehicles and machines and technology, and this is our prosperity. So Srila Prabhupada pointed out that, well, nowadays the people there, you can get lipstick and toenail polish and all this kind of thing, but actual signs of prosperity, like gold and jewels, people, they hardly have it at all. Maybe one gold ring, and that's about it. But in the modern world, nations are considered advanced or unadvanced according to the number of factories they have and the degree of industrial products they can produce. And countries in which people live without big factories, they're considered very backward. I remember it must have been about, I must have been in my teenage years. That would be in the early 1970s. It was quite a famous photo. It became circulated around the Western world of a woman in the Soviet Union. Looked like some babushka with her
kerchief.
Yeah, kerchief around her face, and then she was behind a horse, behind a plow. And that was supposed to show that, the Soviet Union is so backward because we do all our, in the Western world, all the farming is done only by machines. And to have this kerchief around your, that's just like really something really backward. So this photo was supposed to demonstrate incontrovertible evidence that the Soviet Union is backward. They still use animals for agriculture, and the women still have this cloth around their face. They're not liberated. Even individually, if a person has a fancy car and all kinds of electronic goods in your home, then you're considered to be very prosperous. A few years ago, it was very prestigious to have a cell phone. Nowadays, everyone's got one. Now they just brought out some new iPhone, I think it is.
iPod.
iPod, is it? Yeah, iPhone. And it's like iPhone. Yeah. And it's everyone's rushing to the shop to have to get the latest one.
Apple, though.
Apple company, yeah. So the idea is we get more machines and life will be wonderful. We will have a kind of happiness that even Cinderella couldn't have dreamed of. And then everyone, when we all have lots of machines and we'll all be happy and we have 100 TV channels to choose from, then everyone will be happy and then they'll be peaceful because we'll be happy. And there'll be no more war. And if you want any war, you can have an imaginary war in the computer game. You can have an imaginary fight with King Kong or some invaders from outer space. And in this way you can satisfy your fighting propensity. So here we are in the year of the Lord, 2008.
Near the Lord.
The year of the Lord. Oh. That's why they sometimes say Anno Domini.
Yeah.
Although it's actually not. And we have many machines for the benefit of whoever might want to watch this, which is being recorded now. I'm saying, looking at this camera, which is looking at me, Hare Krishna. And everyone grows up with so many machines. Before they're born, you take them to the clinic and they have a sonography and they can find out whether it's going to be a boy or a girl, and they're right most of the time. And like that, from womb to grave, we live, our life is lived in the company of machines. However, it's worth examining whether this prosperity measured in terms of machines has actually benefited human society. And if there's really any real benefit for humankind over the previous less machine-oriented society. If there's any actual intrinsic benefit for human society vis-a-vis the previous traditional society. Now, of course, there are many differences between the old way of life and the new. In the conventional village system, more or less all basic needs were met locally. the basic needs of human society to conduct their day-to-day life. The physical needs are for food, clothing, and shelter. So by the grace of Mother Nature, in pretty much all places of the world, all these needs can be met from local products. In some places, these needs are met very easily or relatively easily by the grace of Mother Nature. And some places like deserts or very cold places like northern Russia, they were traditionally not very much inhabited because it's very difficult to get the food, clothing, and shelter. But in most parts of the world, by the grace of nature, with a little cultivation, one can get food, and one can buy cotton or silk or jute or flax. There's wool, then clothing is produced. Please don't stand in front of Srila Prabhupada, if you don't mind.
Srila Prabhupada.
Just stand to the side. And housing materials are commonly available in various areas. Wood, stone, and clay being the most common materials. And thus there was no need of massive industries, big factories, and so on. Some things would need to be imported into the village setup. Some things like brass goods, like for cooking, for instance. Although you can also cook using clay pots and wooden utensils, but for knives you need some metal, which in most cases would have to be imported. So there would be traveling merchants who would sell these things, and mostly the metal items, they would last for many years. They'd be made in such a way they'd last for many years. Another factor of the traditional village life was mutual cooperation. It was necessary, and it was a natural thing that you helped your neighbors, and then they helped you when you needed it. So there was no need for intercontinental import and export, no multinational companies. Nanda Maharaj was very wealthy. His wealth was having so many cows. So we can examine some of these different factors. Now, producing food in modern life, food is the actual work of producing food is done by few people. It's machine intensive rather than labor intensive. Farming is done with huge fields using machines and chemical fertilizers, pesticides. And then the food, once it's produced, has to be transported over huge distances to get to the people so they can eat it. Now, this might seem to be a good idea, but there are lots of problems with that. One thing is that although you can now, people, they live in cities and they have all different, many different varieties of food, but none of it has any flavor. Isn't that a fact? In the past, when you got vegetables and you ate them and there was good flavor, but nowadays, if you close your eyes, you can't tell which vegetable you're eating because they all taste the same. They have no flavor. Is it true? You can go in the market and you'll see like a tomato which is like half the size of a football, and it looks like really beautiful, but it's got no flavor and it's got no nutritional value either. The modern tomatoes are like symbolic of modern society. They're big, they look good, they're expensive, and they're useless. They've got no flavor and no benefit. And not only they use not only they've got no nutrition, but they're actually poisonous. And that's one major reason why so many people are getting cancer today, because every day people are eating poison. So it's not surprising if you eat poison every day that at some point in time you're going to get sick, seriously. I mean, even 20 or 30 years ago, if you tell people that drinking water you'll have to buy it, they'd laugh. They couldn't imagine. Could you imagine, Bhagwan Pandit, when you were a young boy, that drinking water would be sold? It's unimaginable. There was a time not very long ago when even milk wasn't sold. In the village, or even in the town, the people, everyone had cows and they had milk and everyone had plenty, and if someone needed more, they'd just ask for some more. That's all. There's plenty available. But in the modern age, even a big billionaire living in the city, he can't get, even for billions of dollars, fresh food, fresh water, or fresh air. And the whole supply of food, it's very precarious. It can break down at any time. If the supply of oil breaks down, or if the truckers go on strike, then everyone in Kazan will starve. You may say, well, no problem, I've got my dacha outside the city, but you won't be able to go, because if there's no oil to get out there, and by the time you get there, by walking, someone else will have stolen all your vegetables. In the 1980s, in Western Europe, pretty much everyone was sure there's going to be nuclear war with the USSR, and then there'll be a breakdown, a total breakdown of civilization. And people were writing books on what to do if you survive. So they were telling how, you know, what kind of food you have to stock, and then you have to keep guns to protect your food, because people will come and try in gangs and try to forcibly take away your food. Well, as we know, it didn't happen yet. But modern society is extremely artificial, and the whole thing could break down at any time. And you see, you can have a big the apartment that you have, which, just like in Moscow now, an apartment which it might be $1 million for some apartment, but that will be completely useless if there's not food being brought in every day. And it's already just now in the last few months they're talking about a world food crisis. And the price of oil is galloping all the time, galloping up. So naturally the price of food is also going up and up and up, because it has to be transported, and the pesticides are also made from oil, and they have to also be transported. Everything, the price is going up and up and up and up and up. Mm-hmm. So in so many ways, modern civilization is extremely artificial. And it's not possible to even begin to discuss the myriad problems in just a short time here. Then people are aware of this. I mean, there's this global warming crisis, for instance. That's one of the problems. And recently the big countries of the world made a vow that by the year 2050 we'll reduce the number of carbon emissions by half, but it's even if they do that, it's not nearly enough to offset the massive problems they're producing. In the meantime, you see the city, everyone's moving to the city, and even to get a tiny little apartment in a city costs so much money that someone may have to spend their whole life, they take out a loan. And they spend their whole life paying off a loan to get a tiny little apartment with no land around it, stuck somewhere up in the, 15th story or something, or 115th story. And whereas previously, I mean, everyone had a home with land surrounding it, and then you could have your own vegetables and flower garden. Clothing is also made from artificial materials, which are very unhealthy. The lighting system was also very simple in previous times. People, they didn't need to stay up all night working or going to parties or any such thing. So a simple lighting system by castor oil, burn a lamp. And instead of working all night or staying up all night, people did the sane thing, which is also much better for the health of the body, which is to go to sleep at night. This once Srila Prabhupada asked one of his disciples to make to write a book on how Krishna conscious outlook can solve all the problems of society. So the devotees were asking Srila Prabhupada, they would tell him what are the different problems, and Prabhupada would give the solution in a few words. They have all these big think tanks of big professors and research scientists trying to solve all the problems and spending billions of dollars, and Prabhupada would just in a few words give the solution. So one problem that was brought up was the petrol crisis. At that time in 1973, they were saying there's a petrol crisis, that the supply of oil is not enough. Of course, as we know, that was just an excuse to put the oil prices up and go and fight a few wars in places where you wanted to take control. So anyway, Prabhupada said, well, the solution to the petrol crisis is don't use petrol. You don't need petrol. It's such a big hassle to dig it out of the earth, and it's also violence to the earth, and it causes so many problems. The whole economy of Tatarstan will be affected if we say this, but we should say it nevertheless. So you may say, well, what if we want to go somewhere? You know, how do we travel around? Prabhupada said, don't travel. You don't need to go anywhere. Everything can be produced locally. If you want to go somewhere, you can walk or take an ox cart. So you may say, well, that's primitive. That's the way people live for thousands of years. And actually, in terms of spiritual consciousness, you see Vyasadeva, if he was living in a cave, and what is his contribution to human society? It's certainly more substantial than that of Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry reached Kazan. This is the modern day answer to Vyasadeva. Atato Brahma Jignyasa, Atato TV Jignyasa. What's on the TV? Instead of asking what is the absolute truth, you'll ask what's on TV. So in the modern age you would say, well, we have a very advanced healthcare system. It's because you're always sick because of the modern society. The way of life is so unhealthy. One major feature of modern society is psychological or psychiatric problems. The more the societies are so-called developed, the more psychiatric problems are prominent. And actually, you can see that. It's when you go to Western Europe and America, you see the psychiatric problems and the social problems are simply immense. I mean, in a society where more than 50% of the people take psychological counseling during their life, I mean, there's something really wrong with there's something basically wrong with such a society. And you may say, well, in the modern society, we have very advanced education. But the actual result is that people are becoming more and more animal-like. You would think that by education, people would become cultured. But actually, one prominent feature of modern society is that people are becoming more and more animalistic. I mean, this is something which we can all practically perceive, is it not? That day by day, year by year, people are becoming more and more just like animals in the way they behave. What do you think? And then no one can trust anyone. Even the parent can't trust the child. The child can't trust the parent. It's a horrible civilization. Another thing is, in traditional society, you didn't need all this so much big education just so you can get some job. Society wasn't so complex. So the potter's son would become a potter, the carpenter's son would become a carpenter, and like that. Whatever education you need would be at home, and you had a guaranteed occupation. But in the modern age, even if you have a very high education, you're not guaranteed of even having any income. Then you see if there's any disputes were settled locally, because in a small village unit, everyone knew everyone else and they all needed to cooperate for economic reasons. Disputes were, they had to, you couldn't have big disputes which got out of hand. There was not, and there was not, and there was no need of a very complex legal system. And it's not that you had to have, you know, so many police and security guards and all this kind of thing. I mean, I remember even in my youth, I was traveling in Ireland, and you'd go in villages, and you'd go in that village, and all the village doors in the middle of the day would be open in the houses. No one would be in the house. They'd all be out in the field working, and they'd leave their door wide open. Yep. So there was because there was no question of anyone coming and stealing anything. Can anyone do that today? It's not possible. This the countries, they spend so much money on weapons, huge amounts of money on weapons. I mean, they literally spend like billions and billions of dollars on making new weapons, buying new weapons, producing new weapons, and killing people. Some people like to play war games on computers. The politicians play real war games with real people, spending your money. You work, they take your tax, and then they kill people with your money. Then you may say, well, in the modern age, we have so much entertainment. You have like 100, 200 TV channels. We have soccer players earning millions of dollars for kicking a ball around. But still, no one became happy because of that. In fact, soccer's famous for the violence connected with it. I remember seeing that around the football stadium, when there's a before and after the game, all the local people, they cover their windows with wooden boards because otherwise they'll get all smashed. The shops all closed because it's just like it's like a whole band of hooligans come. That's the football game.
It's in your childhood or in general?
Yeah, in my childhood.
That was
in my childhood. I'm sure things didn't get any better since then. So traditionally, what was the entertainment? Well, in Vedic culture, it was hearing about the pastimes of the Lord and chanting His holy names. I practically saw that when I was traveling in the villages in Bangladesh. At that time, there was no electricity. And in the evening, people would come together and chant Hare Krishna. It's a very common thing. It's a normal thing to do. And in the modern age, you see the husband is out at work, the wife is out at work, and they come at different hours, and then they take different food, which they take out of the fridge, and then they watch different TVs, the different programs they want, and then the home or the apartment they live in, it's just like a joint mess. There's no family life. So, of course, the traditional village life, it wasn't exactly utopia. It's still the material world. But in general, problems were less, and they were less complex. And it's a sustainable economy. And it tended to foster the actual purpose of human life. Tasyaiva heto prayate tako vidona labhyate yad brahmatam upriya daha. Talabhyate dukavad anyata sukham kalena sarvatra gabhira ranghasa. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam. Should I show you the verse and then you can translate it? Tasyaiva heto prayate te kovito nalabhyate brahmyatam upriyadaha. Talabhyate dukavad anyata sukham kalena sarvatra gabhira ranghasa. So if human intelligence isn't used to search out the ultimate need of the soul, then it will be used to exploit material nature for sense enjoyment. So the whole idea of the modern progress of society based on more and more industrial production is based on a fundamental mistake about the purpose of human life. Fundamental misconception. If we're not satisfied to live simply with what is provided by God through material nature, then we must necessarily create a very complex society which it actually makes everything more and more difficult in every way. We make the whole society, everything becomes more and more difficult in every way. And although you may say, well, we get some benefit, but every benefit we get is offset by innumerable problems. So one of the, if we see Srila Prabhupada, one of the things which he discussed many, many times was living simply with high thinking. And high thinking means Krishna consciousness. We see that Srila Prabhupada wrote the purport that we're discussing today. He wrote this even before coming to the West and seeing the difficulties created in the modern Western world. So Srila Prabhupada very much wanted to establish these devotees, farm communities, so they could live together, live simply and healthily and happily and chant Hare Krishna. There are many advantages to such a way of life. One of the main ones is that you can, apart from the devotees being able to live with each other and associate with each other, they're able to raise their children in a Krishna conscious atmosphere. So this is one of the, it's a major part of Srila Prabhupada's mission to establish such communities. It's not easy, because we're not used to such a way of life, and mostly our devotees are addicted to the city way of life. It's also not very easy because the modern economy and makes it difficult to live in a different economic basis. And even the laws work against that, because you have to, for instance, send your children to school for so many years. So, of course, it's not impossible to be Krishna conscious living in the cities. But it is one of Srila Prabhupada's aims to make the simple village life in which people can live together and chant Hare Krishna. And that's also one kind of preaching, because increasingly people are seeing the problems of modern life. So if we can show people how they can live simply and healthily and happily, then many people may want to come and join our communities. And actually, Srila Prabhupada said that if we establish these farm communities, people will come and join in the millions. Yeah. So we think, well, the preaching is very successful. If, you know, if 100 people come to a program, we think, well, that's a successful preaching, right? But Srila Prabhupada was talking about making whole nations Krishna conscious, and literally millions of people. And it is possible. We find more and more that people are appreciating the philosophy and the books of Srila Prabhupada. And more people appreciate that our devotees, the devotees are spiritual people with something to offer society. Spiritually offered. So if we can actually demonstrate this practically, then maybe millions of people will come and join. So Srila Prabhupada, he was a very practical acharya. He constantly spoke the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. But he gave, he was very perceptive of the needs of human society. What do we need to give Krishna consciousness to the human society as it's presently constituted? That's why Srila Prabhupada, he was able to preach all over the world among different people in different circumstances and give them Krishna consciousness. And he was able to introduce Krishna consciousness in the Western world, which seemed impossible. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada could see that this modern civilization, it's not going to last very long. It's only a matter of time before it breaks down. So Srila Prabhupada wanted that we have some alternative based on Krishna's plan for human society. Live simply, depend on the land, the cows, and Krishna, and live ideal lives, and in this way set an example for the people of the world how human life can be lived and should be lived in Krishna consciousness. So that's a great challenge for our devotees. And who can establish this will certainly get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada abundantly. Just one devotee now just was, Divya Govinda Prabhu was asking me about going to Vrindavan. So that's nice. If you can go time to time, you can go there. But Prabhupada's mission was to bring Vrindavan to the whole world. So we should have these communities all over the world where the atmosphere of Vrindavan is reproduced. The atmosphere of Vrindavan is that people are living simply, depending on the land, the cows, and Krishna, and always chanting the glories of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Well, I thought I should discuss this. I do discuss these points regularly because I know that Srila Prabhupada did, and we should also. My life is one of traveling on these petrol-based or machines from place to place. So you may say, well, that's hypocritical. I'm traveling all over the place and saying people should live in one place and not use these machines. But the example is given is that you take the wood of a tree to make a handle of an axe which cuts the tree. That the present situation of human society is such that it requires people to travel widely and preach Krishna consciousness. But for most devotees, if they can stay in one place, live peacefully and chant Hare Krishna, that will be more practical for them. It's not that someone comes to Krishna consciousness and we tell them, well, now to be Krishna conscious, you have to chant Hare Krishna, follow four regulated principles and travel all over the world. We don't say that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, quoting Srimad Bhagavatam, said, Stane stita, stay where you are. Stane stita shutigatang tanuvang mano abhir. One should not just stay where you are like some rock, but engage oneself in hearing, chanting about, remembering and serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. Hare Krishna. Okay, all right. Is it enough? Oh, it's yeah. Okay, there's more. Okay. I was feeling quite hungry, so I didn't think it was quite enough. Okay. All right, well, it's time for me to take prasadam now. So, questions? Oh, I'm supposed to distribute this, is it? Oh. Any questions, please? One thing, we always used to make a request in the festivals we're holding in Chalni, that devotees please come in devotional clothes. It would be appreciated. With Vaishnav Tilak, cell phones off. All right. One thing about this, you've got the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but it's all over your back also, which isn't very good, and it comes down on your backside, so I'm not much in favor of this.
Cut
in different places, so it's not such a good idea to wear a shirt like this. Was it discussed that we would go on Harinam in the evening? All right. After Sandhya Arati, we'll all go out?
Starting today? Yeah, they'll start today.
Sandhya Arati. Here in Russia, they call evening Arati Gora Arati, but every Arati is Gora Arati, isn't it?
It's because it starts with Gaurangira Rotiksha.
Yeah. It's actually called Sandhya Arati. Sandhya means evening. Yeah, questions? Do we have another mic so that everyone can...
In our situation, should we remain living on the 115th floor? Or should we live on 115th floor and have some plot of land? Or should we just go to some remote place and live in some agricultural community with devotees?
Yeah, the Srila Prabhupada wasn't talking so much simply about living on the land and farming, but about communities. I would say as far as possible, do that locally instead of having to go a long distance away. If you can do it locally, that's better. Everything has to be done very carefully. Look before you leap, there's one saying in English. Look before you leap. But, it's just like in Canada, where the the climate is similar to that of much of Russia. Many years ago, I think about 25 years ago, devotees started a rural community, and it's still going on. There's no electricity. They've never had electricity there. And they're far away from any town. And, you know, they're going on.
Community or communities?
Community.
One.
It's Sharanagati community. I went there last year. Visited there. It is possible. It can be done. One devotee who's lived there for many years, he said, well, in the beginning it was very difficult to get used to. He said, but nowadays I value the facility that I have, that I can, you know, I can get up early in the morning and then I look outside. I can go outside and see all the billions of stars, and I can shout out at the top of my voice, Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Which you can't do that in the city. Even if you go outside your front door, you're in an apartment building, you can't see any stars. And if you go outside, you won't see any stars because there's all neon lights. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, if you start shouting out Hare Krishna very loudly, the police will probably come and arrest you. So yeah, it is difficult in many ways, but then you get some things which you just can't get from living in the city. Yeah.
How in these farming communities like Sharanagati or similar to Russian conditions, the problem of cows, ox, is solved?
One person in Sharanagati has cows, as far as I know. It's not a community project.
Mm.
It's funny, we talk about the problem of cows, whereas in Vedic culture, the cows are not a problem. The more cows you have, it's considered wealth. Well, there was plenty of engagement for them. For transport, transport not only of humans, but transport just like if you're taking grains, for plowing, for threshing. They go round and round in circles, like that. All right. Want to give it to the ladies?
Srila Prabhupada has said if devotees preach nicely, then the Third World War will be postponed or can be avoided.
Yeah.
From your lecture, we can understand that the modern society is degrading inevitably. And does it mean that we won't be able to avoid the Third World War?
It's very difficult to say. If more and more people chant Hare Krishna, that will bring auspiciousness into the world. At the same time, there is very sinful activities going on day by day. I mean, if you take daily the number of cows, pigs, chickens, etc. killed, it comes in the millions all over the world. In Kali Yuga, the war and massive social disturbance is normal. I mean, we always hear about these predictions of Nostradamus and all this kind of thing, that there'll be big wars and so on, but I mean, it's just normal in Kali Yuga. It just hasn't happened. For most of us haven't experienced that in our lifetimes. But you find that the Roman Empire was overrun, and then the Constantinople was overrun and sacked and destroyed, and Jerusalem was attacked and overrun, and there were rivers of blood, and it happens again and again and again in the history of the modern world, and it's almost certain to happen again. I mean, you don't have to be an astrologer or a Nostradamus expert to say that there's going to be great disturbance in human society in future. It's just going on in cycles historically. It's just a matter of time before it affects us also. Unless people take to Krishna consciousness on a very wide scale, we can expect there will be so much disturbance in human society. There is already actually so much disturbance in human society. It's just in a different form. It's not coming in the form of, we may not perceive it here in Kazan in terms of of outright fighting, but I mean, people are psychologically disturbed, seriously. That's common all over the world. People are not happy. They have so many family problems, economic problems, anxiety. And one reason that devotees in the Western world, many of them are interested in preaching through psychology is because so many people have psychological problems. One very good solution to all these psychological problems, I'll tell you, whatever it may be, is chanting Hare Krishna in the association of devotees. Jai Shokal Bipod Bhakti Vinod Balen Jokon O Nam Gai. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, when you chant those names of Krishna, all the problems go away. So chanting and dancing, and then all the problems fly away. Sure. So we're going to have observation of arati now. We're going to have chanting and dancing, and then go in public and chant and dance also. So, whatever problems you may have, just throw them out the window and chant Hare Krishna. Often devotees like to come and tell me all their problems, but I don't have any solution, but just chant Hare Krishna. If your husband doesn't like you, and your mother doesn't like you, and your father doesn't like you, and your children don't like you, and your dog doesn't like you, and just chant Hare Krishna, that's all. And take prasad.